Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 2. We'll begin at verse 19, and I'll read all the way to the end of the chapter in verse 30. Paul writes, "Now I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be encouraged by news about you. For I have no one else like-minded who will genuinely care about your interests. All seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know his proven character, because he has served with me in the gospel ministry like a son with a father. Therefore, I hope to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. I am confident in the Lord that I myself will also come soon. But I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, as well as your messenger and minister to my need, since he has been longing for all of you and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. Indeed, he was so sick that he nearly died. However, God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. For this reason, I am very eager to send him, so that you may rejoice again when you see him, and I may be less anxious. Therefore, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and hold people like him in honor, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up what was lacking in your ministry to me." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. How many of y'all are willing to admit that you really like either the book or the movie Anne of Green Gables? I love Anne of Green Gables. In fact, my favorite male character in all literature is Matthew Cuthbert. Anne of Green Gables is a story about an orphan girl from the mainland of Canada, of all places, who ends up being adopted into a family in Prince Edward Island of a brother and a sister who never got married and obviously then never had children of their own back in that day. And they take this red-headed girl into their family, into their home, and she worms her way into their hearts. Well, when she hears that there's another little girl in town just down the way that is her same age, she hears her name is Diana Barry, and she is firm and fast on the idea that Diana Barry is going to be her kindred spirit. And when she meets Diana for the first time, she's fawning all over her. She can barely contain the words that are just spewing from her mouth in excitement. And indeed, Diana Barry does become Anne's fast friend and kindred spirit. In this passage here, I would argue that Timothy is Paul's kindred spirit. In verse 20, Paul says this, "I have no one else like minded." The Greek word literally means, it's a compound word meaning equal souled, psukes, equal minded or of equal soul. Timothy is like a son to Paul. They're co-workers in the gospel. But where Paul seems always to be up front and in the spotlight, Timothy seems to be okay working from the shadows, ensuring that God's will is manifest through this person, Paul, whom he loves so much. He's a faithful friend and a kindred spirit. But Paul goes on and mentions someone else in this passage, Epaphroditus. Listen to some of the words that Paul says about Epaphroditus. Brother, co-worker, fellow soldier, your messenger, and my minister. We know from chapter 4 of this letter that Epaphroditus was actually from the church in Philippi. And the church in Philippi wanted to bless Paul and wanted to bless Paul's ministry, so they took up a love offering. And Epaphroditus is the one who actually brought the financial gift to Paul, so Paul, while under house arrest in Rome, could not only be taken care of, but could minister to other people outside the prison and be of good use for the kingdom of God. And Epaphroditus stuck around and, like Timothy, was a co-worker in the gospel. But somehow, in working for the cause of Christ, Epaphroditus became deathly ill and nearly died. He was spared, and Paul said, "Thank the Lord he was spared, because it saved me all that anxiety." Fast forward 200 years, And there is a really wicked cool historical connection with Epaphroditus and North Africa. Dionysius of Alexandria in Egypt of North Africa was writing about a hamlet, a small church, and a small movement during a plague. A plague had swept through northern Africa, and this small group of Christians ministered to the community, Christian, non-Christian. It didn't matter to these folks. They went and they risked their lives ministering to those folks who had the plague. And while they were ministering to the dying and burying the dead, many of these Christians ended up being buried right beside the very people that they were caring for. There developed within northern Africa an order of Christians called the Parabolani. The Parabolani were people, were Christians, who felt called to risk for the cause of Jesus Christ. And the connection with Epaphroditus is that is a word in chapter 2 of Philippians that Paul used for Epaphroditus, and it's the only place that takes the only location in all of the New Testament where that word shows up. So these people, these Parabolani, the order of folks who are willing to risk in faithful service to Jesus, is rooted in Epaphroditus' ministry to Paul. I thought that was a pretty cool historical connection. What's also cool here is Paul is willing to let these men go. Now, picture Paul's situation. He's under house arrest in Rome for preaching the gospel. He needs people who are free to come and go to minister to his daily needs. He needs people who are free to come and go so he can continue to minister outside the walls of his confines. And yet he says, I'm sending Timothy to you, his dear brother, his kindred spirit. I'm sending Epaphroditus to you. He's releasing them to the will of God, even though he needs them so much. Now look at verse 29. Verse 29 is where All Saints comes in. When I read this several months ago in preparing for this sermon in Philippians, I knew that we were done with Philippians series last Sunday, and I thought, well, this is perfect. We can stay in Philippians for an extra week because this fits so wonderfully with All Saints. Paul writes, therefore honor him, Epaphroditus, and by extension we can also say Timothy, honor him in the Lord with great joy and hold people like him in honor because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up what was lacking in your ministry to me. Celebrate him, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and hold him in honor. Well, that's sort of what we just did in our All Saints recognition of these saints. We don't grieve as those without hope. We serve a risen Savior. In John chapter 14, Jesus was sharing his farewell speech with his disciples, and he let them know, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. In his mansion, there are many rooms, and I go there to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, Jesus said, there you may also be. So we recognize with joy that these folks whose names we just read, not because they are members of a church, not because they're members of this church, not because they went through any special waters of baptism, we recognize with joy that they have been welcomed into Christ's heavenly home because they received the free gift of salvation that Jesus offered. They had faith. They didn't live their lives as perfect human beings, but they had faith. They were followers of Christ. They were saved, born again. And now, with joy, we can celebrate that they are in that place that Jesus promised he was going to prepare a place for them. If anything, instead of really being broken up about it, we can mourn their loss, but I feel a tinge of jealousy. They're with Christ in glory. They're experiencing what I long to experience. Now, I still have a few things I think I need to do here in this life. I need to get my kids through college. I need to see them graduate. I need to see them married. I need to hold my grandkids. I mean, there are some things that I look forward to doing. But my goodness, they've lived into their reward. And they are now experiencing the promise of Christ. So, yes, we grieve, but we don't grieve without joy for those that God has called on. But we do something different on All Saints' Day besides just celebrate with joy the fact that they have moved on to and stepped into eternity with Jesus Christ. We also reflect on the impact that they had on us. Of course, we light a candle and we show their picture and we share their name, but so much more important than that is thinking about the impact that these individuals had on each one of us. I'll share a story about Alan, Dr. Bickford. He was technically not a member of Forest Hills, but he started coming about 5 years ago and came almost every single Sunday, incredibly faithful. And then I found out he was an English professor at Macon State University, and I guess I didn't know English well enough, and he offered to tutor me. Maybe it's my Canadian English, maybe I'm just an ignoramus, but the way it worked was I taught him theology and Bible, and Alan signed up for every single Bible study that I held, except the last one, because he was going to Emory Hospital because his condition, his physical condition was getting so low. But he said, I'll take the next one. Faithfulness. So he took theology and Bible from me, and I took English literature from him. So he gave me a complete works of Flannery O'Connor. It's on my desk right now. In preparing the sermon, I don't know why, but I pulled it off and I just held the book. So he would assign me a story from that, and we would go out to lunch, and 2-3 hours we would talk, and we'd run through the story, and he'd ask me my insights, and he'd share some things, and there's something going on there. He's having an impact on me. Proverbs 27:7 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. He sharpened me. He made me a little more acute when it came to the English language. But it might also say, as one soft thing softens another, so a soft-hearted person can soften the heart of a hard-hearted person. Because Alan did something else. Every 6 weeks or so, like clockwork, Alan would show up with a stack of Publix gift cards. And he'd give them to me and say, Baxter, you know this community better than I do. When someone comes in or if you see someone around town in need, give them a gift card. And I always had a sort of a list in my mind as to who I should help and who I shouldn't help. And Alan's thought was, no, if they're in the place where they're asking for help, give them help. I always have more money. I can always get you more gift cards. What a soft heart. He's going to get taken advantage of. That was my thought. His thought is, God has blessed me. I'm going to bless other people. Don't worry about it. There's always more money. His softness, steel sharpens steel, iron sharpens iron. His soft heart affected me then, and it's still affecting me now. We had another lady on that list, Kathy Hansen, that several Christmases in a row, she would bring me a white envelope with hundreds of dollars in it, cash. She said, give this to somebody. Give this to someone in our church family who's in need. And I got to play Santa Claus. And I got to go and bless. And she never wanted anyone to know. I don't know that I've ever told anyone other than Carolyn that I got this money every year to give away to other people from Miss Kathy. I can say it now because Kathy's in glory and she can't argue against me. But the impact that people have on our lives is phenomenal. And we don't even always know it. Miss Jackie Mann, who was on that list, she passed away and gave Forest Hills the bulk of her estate this year. $510,000. Dr. Alan Bickford, who wasn't a member, left us his house. We closed on it on Friday. We got more than $116,000. the impact. Please don't stop giving offering because of that, or it'll just all dry up. I mean, continue to be faithful, okay? Please, continue to be faithful. God will use that money for incredible things down the road, I'm sure. But the impact that these folks had with their faithful contributions to the Lord while alive and in death, the impact that they had in their witness that continues to challenge and shape us even now, these folks were like Timothy, co-workers, often in the background, but co-workers supporting the work of the Lord. They were like Epaphroditus, willing to risk for the cause of Jesus Christ. So yes, we celebrate with joy that they have moved on to their reward, but we can take as a challenge on All Saints Day to live in such a way that people will speak well of us when we're gone, and will speak well of the lingering impact that our witness had on others. We just watched a 4-minute video of Samuel Johnson, escaped misery, living in a refugee camp, came over to Atlanta, moved down to Macon, got a phenomenal education at world's finest Mercer University. And what did he do? The Order of Parabolani. He felt called to risk, to go back from the very place that he escaped by God's grace. But to go back and minister in the name of Jesus, putting in wells, providing education for orphans. Wow, what an example, what an impact. Let me share a personal story. James, my 19-year-old baby boy, is skipping Georgia Tech next semester. And if you saw on screen, Guinea is right next to Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone ranks as the 184th worst country in the world out of 187 countries. James is going to go there and spend 3.5 months working in IT, because that's his major at Georgia Tech, working in IT for an orphanage and a water well company. He doesn't know this, but his example as my little boy is having an impact on me. He's being like Epaphroditus in the Order of the Parabolani, risking for the sake of Jesus Christ, risking to bring God's love to others around the world. It's a challenge to me because, let's be honest, it's not much of a risk being the pastor of Forest Hills United Methodist Church. Y'all pay well. Y'all are incredibly gracious people. You pray for me regularly. You provide for all that we feel we need to do with the work of the Lord. You get involved and do the work right alongside me, because it's not my work, it's our work to do. I met with the district superintendent this Thursday for an annual review. We were supposed to be there 30 minutes. We were there an hour and 5 minutes, and part of that was me bragging on you and how wonderful you are. And I specifically said in connection with last Sunday's sermon, please don't move me to Lutawisi. He got a kick out of that, by the way. But I talked about how easy it is to serve here as the pastor among you, incredible people who are making an impact. But folks, my life is pretty easy. And my son, for Jesus' sake, is going to risk. Samuel, for Jesus' sake, is risking. I don't want to be comfortable. I don't need life to be fun. I want to be conformed to the image of Christ. I need to be faithful. So this All Saints Day, as we celebrate with joy the fact that these folks have stepped into their eternal reward through the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, let's assess our own lives. And let's assess how we, as saints of God today, are making an impact on those around us. Are we like Timothy, faithful in service, even when it goes unnoticed? Are we like Epaphroditus, willing to risk So the good news of Jesus Christ reaches far and wide in word and deed. That's who we are called to be. That's who the world needs us to be. Let's pray. Gracious God, for these two saints that we mentioned here this morning, Timothy and Epaphroditus, and all the folks who passed on in this last calendar year who meant so much to this church and so much to us, we give you thanks. But Lord, we do more than thank you in joy, and we do more than simply honor them with our words. We honor them by living into their legacy. We honor them by picking up the mantle and moving forward in your good and perfect will. And as we do so, we recognize that they are in glory, cheering us on. Lord, allow us to reflect. Are we serving you in any capacity that's worth cheering for? And if not, then let us change our hearts and ways. And if so, then let us persist in faithful service, in faithful, loving expression of the good news of Jesus Christ, so that we, like them, can make an impact. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.